Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Just one cornetto, keep it to me. Delicious ice cream for Vitali.
Now, that'll mean absolutely nothing to anybody under the age of 45, but everybody over that age is immediately going to be transported back to the 1980s in a favourite ad for, yeah, you guessed it, ice cream. And I'm playing it because we wanted to take a closer look at the sugary, creamy indulgence that we associate with summer. So I am joined from our Cork studio by Regina Sexton, food historian at University College Cork. Good morning, Regina. How are you?
Very good. Good morning, Philip.
Where's ice cream come from then?
Oh gosh, now, like any sort of legendary food and popular food, it's surrounded with myths and legends and all sorts of stuff. So there are those stories that it comes into Europe, the idea comes from China and the Arab world and so on. So all of those things are really far in the past. But we do know that there are lots of ice cream things happening in Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries in particular, I think. Kind of pinning ice cream activity to Italy and France in particular, where it becomes this idea of iced food, you know, chilled iced food, sometimes sweetened but not always sweetened, becomes one of these illustrious, spectacular foods associated with the courts and the kings and the aristocracy. So its early history is one of a prestige item.
No wonder, really, because, I mean, you're talking about ice in the 17th century and sugar in the 17th century. I'd imagine these were pretty expensive commodities.
Exactly. So if you think about ice cream, the name tells you it's ice and cream together. And sugar is added. Now, sugar, of course, I mean, there is sugar in Europe, but the big influx of sugar will come with the colonisation of the New World throughout the 17th and particularly the 18th century. So sugar is coming in that route. But the other thing that we forget about ice cream in these early days is the other crucial ingredient it needed because it related to how we experience ice cream, particularly in a mouthfeel context, is salt, okay? And salt and ice go together because you need ice to freeze your base mixture of cream and whatever other ingredients you like to add in. But if you add in sugar to cream, what that is going to do is that it's going to give you a nice texture when it freezes, but also sugar in there now is complicating things in a scientific chemistry way because it's going to bring down the freezing point of the cream. So then what you have to do is you have to think about how do you overcome that. This is kind of ingenious, and you can imagine the discoveries of this, that if you bring ice and salt together, salt is going to lower the freezing point of ice. So that kind of counterbalances the sugar setup. So you can freeze your creamy, sugary mixture at a lower point because you have salt in there.
And then you add sugar to neutralise the taste of the salt?
No, you can add salt, but the salt, sorry, I should have said, the salt is in this kind of briny solution. So what they have is, it's just incredible. They have these pieces of equipment that are sort of like double pieces. So you have the mixture in one container and surrounding that you have the lower temperature freezing briny solution of crushed and sludgy ice with the salt in it. And so what's happening there is that the outside briny solution is taking the heat from the mixture, you know, and it's introducing a freezing environment to freeze up your, if it's sweet, your sweety creamy mixture, which is going to become your ice cream, you know.
When then did it stop being the preserve of the aristocracy and become more mainstream?
Well, I suppose there's a number of things, really. When it goes into the 18th century, because sugar is becoming cheaper, I suppose there's an upsurge in the production of ice cream, but it's still the preserve of wealthy people, and it moves in some ways in the 18th century into a sort of a commercial professional context where the confectioners are making it, and you can have your ice cream made and delivered to your house. So that's just extraordinary, and that's happening in Dublin and so on in the 18th century. So that's really extraordinary. But then when it moves into the 19th century and throughout the 19th century, it moves from being this very luxurious, illustrious food to becoming the food of the masses, particularly in the second half of the 19th century and into the early 20th century.
What were the popular flavours as it became more popular? Was it always about vanilla?
Yeah, but I mean, if this is really fascinating as well, because you can see the history of the flavours of ice cream through the recipes through time. So it wasn't always sweet. Sometimes they were savoury ice cream flavours like artichoke and the big favourites. Yeah, and things like truffle ice cream and parmesan cheese ice cream.
Mm.
And then early sweet ones would be vanilla, strawberry, raspberry, yeah. Coffee, and chocolate is there too in from some of the early years. But even up to the present day, I think the two big flavours that are popular in a global context remain as vanilla and chocolate.
Where does the name 99 come from for a cone?
Oh dear, now we can't really answer that question because again, it's surrounded with so many myths and stories and legends. And I've actually collected six of them so far. The first one people think, which doesn't really hold up because 99 ice cream is different. It's what they call in America soft serve, soft whip. So that becomes popular in the 1930s onwards. And but what it needs to have to make it a 99 in Britain and in Ireland, of course, is the flake, the Cadbury's flake, which is really gorgeous because that flaky texture, just, you know, that mouthfeel of mm-hmm.
I've
all
heard
of
some
that
suggestions
brilliant.
In the past because it was the code on the boxes.
Yeah, read upside down because you need a flake, first of all. And the flake comes online in 1920, but you need a half flake. So they start producing the half flakes to go with ice cream, and some of the price codes in those boxes were six shillings, six pence,
okay.
six, and that was read upside down.
Right, that seems logical, but you got five others. I've only got a minute, so give me the most credible.
I think the most credible one is a family in an Italian originated family in Edinburgh who had their cafe after World War One on 99 Portobello Street in Edinburgh. The granddaughter of the founder of that, Stephen Arcari, maintains that her grandfather was making ice cream. He split a flake in two, stuck half in, and he called it 99 after the address of his cafe in Edinburgh.
Portobello Street or road, did you say?
Portobello Edinburgh. Street in Edinburgh.
Portobello Street, Edinburgh. Regina Sexton, as always, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.